the Divine Souls. Today will be the last day in this series on Guru Tattva. Yesterday I was explaining the concept of mantra, mantra diksha, and the process of how a disciple becomes God realized through the grace of his guru. Let me clarify that a little bit more with a quote from the Bhagavatam. Satam prasangan mam virya samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha tadjoshanadashvapavargavartmani shraddharatir bhaktiranukramishyati. This shloka explains a lot about the guru-disciple relationship. Here Vedavyasji has written that if we do sang of the guru, satam prasangat, prasang, like doing satsang, he's saying satam means sang of the sat. Here the sat is the guru, the God-realized saint. Sat is another name of God. Here it means the representative of God who's here on earth, the divine God-realized saint. So if we do sang, sang means of our mind, we surrender our mind to the guru, then what happens? It says, tad joshanat, because of the proximity of our mind to the guru's mind, that's the key, not physical proximity. Our mind has to join with Guru's mind. What happens? Three things happen in sequence. First, Shraddha, then Rati, then Bhakti. Three things happen in the disciple's heart. First, Shraddha. Now here, if you have a good enough memory to remember back to the second day when I was talking about how to find a Guru, I said the process is first you develop Shraddha, then God sends a guru into your life. Here Vedavyasji is saying, through the sangha of the guru you get Shraddha. In other words, one method is you prepare yourself, you develop a longing for God, and when that longing is there in your heart, God will send the guru so you can benefit from his association. But here Vedavyasji is saying God is so gracious and the saints are so gracious that even if someone doesn't have Shraddha, it means they don't have a desire for God. They don't have renunciation from the world. Even then, if they associate with the Guru, in other words, they weren't even qualified to meet a Guru, and yet somehow it happened. As long as they don't do namaparad, as long as they don't just close their mind off totally, they may not have a desire for God, and they may not even initially think there's much value in what that saint is saying, but as long as they're, you can say, neutral, then through the association of that saint, eventually, Shraddha will be born in the heart. He'll hear something, maybe a good, he'll be having a good sanskar one day, and he hears one thing the saint says, and it just enters his heart, and all of a sudden, oh, something changed. He starts thinking about the meaning of his life, and about his relationship with God. In other words, now Shraddha has been revealed in his heart through that saint's grace. Then that person has to practice, follow the path that the saint is teaching. Now we come to the second thing, rati. Rati here is indicating bhav bhakti. Remember I told you, if we do the work of doing sadhana bhakti, if we do the work of following the path as taught by the saint, then we get some results in our heart. Love for God starts growing, and we even start to experience some of those sattvic bhav. This is the rati part. So with Guru's grace, you reach that stage as well. And when the mind is fully purified, then just like I gave the example yesterday, that once you've put all the bulbs and fittings and wiring and switches and everything in your house, as soon as you're done, you can immediately connect to the main power line and the powerhouse delivers the power and everything lights up. Similarly, as soon as our heart is fully purified, we reach that third stage, bhakti. Here, bhakti means the divine bhakti, divine love. Guru instantly graces us with that. So I told you yesterday, this is the true diksha. Once we become qualified, Guruji gives us diksha. And that may happen with through a mantra, you could say. Guru could give you a mantra at that time of God realization, and that mantra is empowered with the divine bliss, and you receive that and become God realized. Or a guru could hug you and give the same thing, or just simply look at you and give the same thing, or you could be on other sides of the world and he could still give it to you. So this is true diksha, and one should not get fooled by thinking that merely receiving a mantra, a spoken mantra from someone in the ear, and then repeating that mantra the whole life, that is actual diksha. It's not. Actual diksha comes when we're qualified, when our heart is fully purified, and actual diksha is the moment of God realization. So we shouldn't think that simply by the mechanical repetition of any mantra that we're guaranteed entrance into God's divine abode. We have to do sangha of that guru. It's not like one time we go and get a mantra, bas Guruji ho gaye. No, we have to work to become real disciples. Gita says, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. You want that God-realized saint to show you the path? You want that saint to grace you with correct knowledge? You want that saint to help you find God? Then pranipatena, it means surrender your mind. Your mind, just like I told you, you surrender to the doctor, you surrender to your mechanic, you surrender to your landscaper who tells you, no, that won't grow here in this climate. Grow this instead. We surrender our mind to so many places, to so many so-called experts. So Guruji is the expert in the spiritual field. We surrender our mind to him, pranipatena. Then pariprasnena. Find out, where do you have confusions? Where do you have doubts? And sincerely ask your Guruji, how do I clear these doubts? Can you please give me correct knowledge? In other words, you humbly ask, you don't challenge. Say, I have this misunderstanding, can you please, forgive me for asking it, but can you please clear that confusion up for me? And sevaya, we have to serve the saint. Then we can receive what the saint is giving. Nowadays we're so lucky. Meaning we have it easier. Saints compensate a lot on our behalf. We don't have to do much seva. Back in the olden days, if you want to learn from a saint, have a Guruji teach you about the path to God, let me just give you one example of a way it may have gone. Someone who wants to learn from a saint goes near where the saint's ashram is and knows the saint is not going to just accept me like that. So he finds out that, okay, they use this much dal in this ashram every week. So he goes to the market and he buys that dal and he just anonymously leaves it outside the ashram. He's right now he doesn't have the courage to even go in front of that saint. He left the dal. Every week he starts leaving the dal. After a few weeks, Guruji says, Who's leaving this? Kaun chhodke jata hai? Aise. Kaun chhodta hai? Aisa nahi maan rahe hain Guruji. Kaun chhod raha hai ye dal hamare ashram ke bahar? Pata nahi Guruji kaun hai. Pata lagao, tells his disciples, find out who's leaving the dal outside the ashram. So the person keeps doing it week after week. Finally, the disciples find out and they tell him, Guruji, that man is coming every week at this time and he's leaving the dal for us to use. Bulao usko. Call him to come here. I want to talk to him. So they find him and they bring him, and now he's thinking, oh, finally I get to meet Guruji. Brings him to Guruji. Kya karta hai re? What are you doing? What do you think you're doing, leaving the dal outside my ashram? Guruji, I really wanted the chance to do your seva. Meri seva? He's giving him a hard time. He's testing him. He's seeing how humble is he. How able is he going to be to receive instructions and follow them. So in this way, the guru might have tested his disciple for a long time before he considered him qualified, that now I'm going to give you some spiritual instructions. Now, this is how you meditate. This is how you do devotion to Radha Krishna. And now that disciple is feeling so happy to receive those instructions and he follows them. Nowadays, it's the other way around. Guruji has to be humble in front of us, or else we'll turn, do a 180 and turn and walk fast the other way, right? We're, you know, hum log bahut bigade hain Kalyug mein. We're, you know, what we put saints through in this Kalyug is truly unforgivable, and yet they forgive us for it. What the saints have to do in order to become acceptable to us, which is funny, right? It's like a professor having to convince his students to learn. The professor is the topmost in his field. And the students come in the class like, oh yeah, let me see. Should I learn from this professor? Oh, I like this thing he's teaching. I don't like that thing. I'll follow this, I won't follow that. That's what we do to the gurus. And they have to say, you know, he's just a child. I know he's ignorant. He can't help it. So let me do what I can to help him. At least if he does one thing out of 100 I'm instructing, he'll get at least a little bit of benefit. But the point I'm making is that we have to do the sangha of the guru. It's not just, there's no quick fix. There's no loophole. There's no shortcut. So just getting a mantra and saying like, okay, now the deal is sealed and Guruji is going to meet me at the gates of Golok. There's no such thing. We have to really associate with the saint. We have to follow the saint's teachings. And it takes a lifetime of effort on our part. But whatever effort we put in, the guru's grace is received immediately. And that grace is the catalyst that increases our love for God and purifies our heart. So the guru does, spiritually speaking, the guru does everything for us that he or she can. We have to at least make the effort to follow the devotional instructions. But the rest is internally, secretly, quietly done by the guru. He's gracing us all the time without telling us anything. So I hope this clears up the subject of mantra diksha. Let's move on to one final topic of confusion. Sampradaya. a lot of people think that which sampradaya any saint belongs to is important. In fact, there's a lot of arguing or criticism that happens in the world by the devotees of God who are devoted to the same divine supreme soul, Paramatma, Bhagwan. In fact, they may even be worshipping the same form of Bhagwan. Even amongst the devotees of Shri Krishna or amongst the devotees of Shri Ram, you have different sampradaya. A sampradaya means a lineage where a true divine saint taught a certain style of devotion. And then after that saint left the earth, their disciples, their followers, they kept following that style of devotion and it became a tradition. We call it a sampradaya. So nowadays, the followers of these original saints of those sampradaya, they criticize each other. Many times it happens. Even though the goal is the same, there, let's say two different sampradaya within Hinduism, like the Vaishnava sampradaya, like the followers of Pushti Marg, for instance, that's one of the sampradaya, followers of Sri Vallabhacharya ji. And then you have also followers of, say, Nimbarkacharya or Swami Haridas. They also taught to worship Shri Krishna, worship Radha Krishna. But the followers have a slightly different style of doing it, and then they start criticizing each other. Well, in our lineage, we do it this way. In our lineage, we do it this way. We wear this kind of kanti in our lineage. We wear this kind of tilak in our lineage. And then there's a pride of doing, this is the right way, and all the other ways are the wrong way. It ends up actually diverting one's mind from devotion to God. Because if our mind is involved in criticism of other devotees, if in our mind we have ill will towards other people, then it means we're not doing devotion at all. So it's a distraction from the path. Shri Maharajji, Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, he clears up this whole issue of sampradaya. Is it important to have a guru who's in a certain sampradaya? Maharajji answers the question like this. He says, when someone asks him, to what sampradaya do you belong? He says, I belong to Shri Krishna's sampradaya, the divine sampradaya. Why? He says, because all the sampradaya can actually be categorized into two sections. Tayoh Shraddhanasya sadhu bhavati. Hiyatirthadya upreyo vrinite. Kathopanishad says there's only two paths you can follow in the world. Shreya marg and preya marg. Shreya marg, the path to attain God. In other words, you set your goal of God realization in this life. Happiness will be attained by attaining God. And then you have preya marg, all whatever paths exist that keep you within Maya and have as their goal the attainment of happiness by attaining something within Maya. That's preya marg. The goal is happiness, but happiness through mayic enjoyments or attainments. And shreya marg, the goal is ultimate happiness through the attainment of God. So really there's only two areas, and there's only two paths, and there's only two sampradaya. Those lineages that take you towards God, they're all part of the Bhagavad sampradaya, the godly or divine lineage, and those that keep you within Maya, they're all part of the mayic sampradaya. So Maharaji says, I belong to Shri Krishna's sampradaya. If someone questions, like, but what about this saint's sampradaya and that saint's sampradaya? Shri Maharaji says, Even those lead back originally to Shri Krishna, all of them. Someone says, I follow Shankaracharya's Sampradaya. Maharaji says, why do you call it Shankaracharya's Sampradaya? Why not call it after Shankaracharya Ji's Guruji? Gaudapadacharya. Why not call it Gaudapadacharya Sampradaya? Why are you calling it Shankaracharya Sampradaya? Gaudapadacharya's Guruji was Govindapadacharya. Why not call it Govindapadacharya Sampradaya? His Guruji was Shukadev Ji Paramahans. Why not call it Shukadev Ji's Sampradaya? Shukadev Ji's Guruji was Vedavyas. Why not call it Vedavyas Sampradaya? Vedavyas Ji's Guruji was Narad Ji. Why not call it Narad Sampradaya? Narad Ji's Guruji was Brahma. Why not call it Brahma's Sampradaya? Brahma's Guruji, Shri Krishna. Why not call it Shri Krishna Sampradaya? Every Sampradaya can be traced back to Shri Krishna in this way. So why are we taking it halfway, wherein it came out from Shri Krishna and it was taught in the world, and somewhere along the line we're saying, oh, Shankaracharya Sampradaya. In that way, everyone teaching something in this world can start their own Sampradaya. We can have millions of Sampradaya and then we can all argue amongst each other. So just make it simple. It's all Bhagavad Sampradaya. It doesn't matter if someone is following Ramanujacharya's tradition or Vallabhacharya's tradition or Swami Haridas' tradition or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji's tradition. None of it matters, because what they all taught was to increase your love for Shri Krishna. That's it. They might have given a different style, meaning Vallabhacharya Ji said, have a murti of Bal Krishna and do seva to him like he's your own son living in your house. So he gave actually a schedule of devotion to worship Shri Krishna and serve him at different times throughout the day. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji didn't teach to worship a murti. He taught to chant Shri Krishna's name. So should the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji go and tell the followers of Vallabhacharya Ji, you guys are wrong for doing murti puja, you should be doing kirtan only? Or vice versa, you guys aren't doing murti puja, you're doing it wrong? That's ridiculous. Why did Vallabhacharya Ji teach murti puja? As a means of attaching the mind to God. How can I get the souls to keep their mind engaged in remembering Shri Krishna as much as possible throughout the day? And why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji teach kirtan? Because kirtan is a very effective way of keeping the mind engaged in remembering God. So that's why Sri Maharaji says Roop Dhyan is the main thing. Whatever form of God you're worshipping, you think of the form, you remember him, feel him with you all the time, then do any kind of bhakti you want. Do jap, do kirtan, do puja, do visiting of holy places. Those are all the external helpers that are meant to make it more easy for you to keep your mind in God. So why should we argue about the external things we're doing that are only meant to help us remember God? You're remembering God in your way, I'll remember God in my way. It doesn't matter what kanti or what tilak we wear or what lineage we follow, we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. So this is why Sri Maharaji says, just remove this worry about Sampradaya from your mind altogether. Just join the Bhagavad Sampradaya and devote your mind to God. Jab koi puchta tha Shri Maharaj ji se, Jagat Guru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj se, ki aap kis Sampradaya ke hain, Maharaj ji hamesha batate the ki main Bhagavad Sampradaya ka hun. Main Shri Krishna के संप्रदाय में हूं, यानी दो ही संप्रदाय होते हैं, एक मायिक संप्रदाय, एक भगवद संप्रदाय। एक श्रेय मार्ग होता है जो भगवान की ओर ले जाता है, एक प्रेय मार्ग होता है जो माया की ओर ले जाता है। तो जो भगवान की ओर जा रहा है वो भगवद संप्रदाय में है, और जो माया की ओर जा रहा है वो मायिक संप्रदाय में है। भगवद संप्रदाय में बहुत अनंत संत हो चुके हैं, तो उनमें से कई संप्रदाय बन चुके हैं, लेकिन कौन किस संप्रदाय में बिलोंग करता है या फॉलो करता है उससे कोई मतलब नहीं है। कोई गलत नहीं है, कोई करेक्ट नहीं है, सब करेक्ट हैं। ऐसा बोलना चाहिए, क्योंकि मेन लक्ष्य है मन भगवान में लगाना। किसी ने सिखाया है कि मूर्ति पूजा से मन जल्दी लगेगा भगवान में, किसी ने सिखाया है कि कीर्तन करने से मन जल्दी लगेगा भगवान में, लेकिन प्रमुख बात है मन लगे। क्या उपाय, किस उपाय से आपने लगाया उससे कोई मतलब नहीं है, आपकी मर्जी है। तो सारे संप्रदाय उपाय बताते हैं मन भगवान में लगाने के लिए, ठीक है। तो आप कोई भी संप्रदाय अपनाइए, या कोई संप्रदाय ना अपनाइए। जगतगुरु श्री कृपालु जी महाराज ने कई बार कहा है कि मैं संप्रदाय चलाना नहीं चाहता हूं, इसलिए उन्होंने अपने गद्दी पर किसी को बिठाया नहीं। उनके बाद कोई जगतगुरु नहीं बनेगा, दूसरा जगतगुरु कृपालु, जैसे शंकराचार्य का सक्सेसर हुआ, आज तक जगतगुरु शंकराचार्य होते हैं, उनकी गद्दी पर बैठते हैं और उनका नाम पड़ता है जगतगुरु शंकराचार्य। रामानुजाचार्य भी, निम्बार्काचार्य, माध्वाचार्य, कृपालु जी महाराज ने कहा कि मैं अब बहुत संप्रदाय हो गए इस जगत में, मैं एक और नहीं चलाना चाहता हूं, बस जो सिद्धांत मैंने सिखाया है उसको पढ़ो या सुनो और समझो और करो, बस। आप कहे कि मैं कृपालु जी को फॉलो करता हूं या ना कहे उससे कोई मतलब नहीं है, बस सिद्धांत समझो और साधना करो, बस। तो ये संप्रदायों का रहस्य है, कृपालु जी महाराज का समन्वय है इसका। उन्होंने पहली बार सारे संप्रदायों का ऐसे समन्वय किया है, उनसे पहले किसी ने ऐसा समन्वय नहीं कर पाया। So now we come to the last question, which will help us understand the greatness of Guru. In our scriptures, at certain places it is said that God is the greatest, and no one can compare to God. And that makes sense. God is supreme. God gives life to every soul. God envelops this whole universe. The whole universe exists within him. Nothing could be bigger than God. Natvatsamostyabhyadhika kutonyo. Arjun says to Shri Krishna in the Gita, no one is even equal to you. Who could be greater than you? So God is the greatest. This is written all over our scriptures. It makes total sense. But at certain places it's written, Ram te adhik Ram kardasa. Ram's das, in other words, the God realized saint, is greater than Ram himself. So the saint is greater than God, it's being said. Anubrajamyaham. Shri Krishna says, I am surrendered to my saints. I follow behind them when they walk because I want to receive their foot dust on my head so that I can be purified. Puye ye tyangri renubhi Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna says, I want to get their foot dust on me. So, Shri Krishna himself is saying, my saints are greater than I am. And at certain places it says, tasminstajjane bheda bhavat, Narad Bhakti Sutra. There's no difference between God and Guru. Both are equal. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau. Shvetashvatra Upanishad says, there shouldn't be a difference in amount of bhakti you have for God and Guru. Both should, you should have an equal amount of devotion to both, because both are equal. Bhakti bhakta bhagavant guru chaturnam bapu ek. They're all equal. So at certain places we have our scriptures telling us God is greater. At certain places Guru is greater. Guru Govind dono khare ka ke lago paayam Balihari Guru Dev ki jin Govind dio lakhaye. Guruji is greater because it's through Guruji's grace that I got to see God. And at some places it says they're equal. So which one is correct? Well, we understood why we say God is greater. That one is simple to understand. And we understand why it would be said that both are equal, because after God realization, God gives all of his divine knowledge, divine bliss, all his divine shakti to the Guru. So now, when he's given everything, they've become equal. Why would Guru be said to be greater? That one is also pretty simple to understand. Without the Guru, we can't find God. Because nirmal man jan so mohi pava mohi kapat chhal chhidra na bhava. Bhagwan Ram says, I will only come to you when your heart is 100% purified. So what do we do to purify our heart if God is not going to come to us when we have kapat, chal in our heart? We have to purify it. Who's going to help us do that? Guruji will help us do that. So for that reason, Guru, from our point of view, is more important than God, because we'll never get to God without a Guru. Guru comes first. Guru helps us get to God. Guru does all the hard work of explaining to us, clearing our questions and confusions, purifying our heart, teaching us the path, helping us on the path. Guru does all of this, and once all that hard work is done, then Bhagwan Sahab comes. Maharaji says it's like parents who raise their child. Let's say they have a girl, and they teach that girl everything, educate her, feed her, make her grow up, become strong, intelligent, well-mannered, well-behaved. She has all the guna. And then the husband comes along and takes her interview and says, okay, she's a good match, let's go. In other words, Guru does all the work of taking care of us spoiled children. And once we become these perfect people, then Shri Krishna comes and takes us away. But actually, Shri Krishna himself in the Bhagavatam says, no, all three of these are wrong. To say that God is greater is wrong. To say that Guru is greater is wrong. And even to say that both are equal is wrong. Why? Acharyam mam vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guru. The first quarter of this shlok, Acharyam mam vijaniyat. Uddhav, Shri Krishna is saying, know me to be the saint. In other words, you compare two different things, right? You can say one is greater, no, the other one is greater, or both are equal. You can't compare the same thing to itself. This is the fourth option. Shri Krishna says this is the correct understanding. There's no, it's not that Guru and me are equal. No, we're one and the same. Because I'm sitting inside the Guru. The Guru has no more self-interest remaining. Shri Krishna says, I sit inside the Guru and I perform his actions. Once the ghee has been purified, it becomes quiet. But until it became purified, when you add heat to the butter, you're heating up that butter and burning off all of the water within it, then it's bubbling. And it's making a lot of sound. But once it becomes purified and it becomes pure ghee, doesn't matter how much heat you put on it, it doesn't make any sound. That's like the Guru, the God-realized saint. He's become kritarth, krita-kritya. In other words, his doing is done. He has nothing more to do. Tasya karyam na vidyate. The Guru has no more work to do. He's attained God. There's nothing beyond that. No bliss beyond that. No knowledge beyond that. He's got the ultimate, absolute attainment. So now he's become quiet. But if you put some uncooked dough in that ghee, now it makes sound again, right? Right. But not for itself. It's making that sound to cook the puri. Once the puri is cooked and you take it out, the ghee becomes silent again. So Guruji is doing something in the world. Why? Humko pakane ke liye. Guruji is trying to take us to God. That's why he's breathing. That's why he's eating. That's why he's sleeping. That's why he's talking. That's why he's walking. Every single action the Guru does is governed by God. And it's done for the reason of helping other souls reach God. So that's why Shri Krishna says, Main hi hoon. Wo kuch nahi karta hai ab. Main hoon. Main karta hoon. Wo to kar chuka hai. Karna kar chuka hai. Ab kuch nahi karna hai. So this is the secret that if we keep it in mind whenever we are blessed with the opportunity to meet a true saint and we just keep in mind that all of their actions are gracious and try to see Shri Krishna within them, is only Shri Krishna governing all of their actions, then we'll never make the mistake of applying our intellect and doing any kind of namaparad. Will actually be able to associate with that saint and receive the benefit of their divine grace. And the longer we associate, the more proof we get through our own experience that this is truly a divine saint. So the more our faith will increase, and the more our faith increases, the more of the saint's grace we're able to receive, and it goes on multiplying in that way until the mind is fully purified. And in the end, Guruji then graces us to remove that final veil of Maya and meet Radha Krishna face to face. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnur, Gurur Devo Maheshwarah. Guru is Brahma because Guru sprouts the seed of devotion, the seed of bhakti in our heart, that bhav. Guru sprouts that catalyst of the Guru's grace is required for that. Guru is Vishnu because Guru maintains and protects the devotee on the path. If the devotee makes a mistake, the Guru forgives him. If the devotee does namaparad, the Guru forgives him. If the devotee gets confused, the Guru answers his questions. If the devotee diverts from the path, the Guru pulls him back onto the path. So he's Vishnu, protecting. And in the end, the Guru, as Bhagwan Shiv, destroys the bondage of Maya. And Guru Sakchat Param Brahma. Then you see, once the bondage of Maya has been destroyed, and with Guru's grace you got divine eyes, then it is actually the Guru who appears before you in the form of Radha Krishna. Guru Sakchat Param Brahma. Then you realize, oh, it was Shri Krishna all along who came to me in the form of my Guru. I didn't know before. So this is the secret of Guru Tattva in gist, as I had to squeeze a lot of knowledge into only 6 days. So the rest you can understand much more deeply if you study the lectures and the writings of Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, which is the source of everything I tried to share with you this week. Bolo Srimat Sadguru Sarkar Ki Jai!